Let's jump right in. The outstanding television voice of the Minnesota Twins, back on the show where he's been many, many times before. Corey Provis is with us. He is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Twins, I used the phrase, Corey, on the Twitter machine, soul-crushing loss last night. There's no such thing at this point as a must-win. However, last night, you have your ace. You're going up against Matthew Boyd, who is coming off Tommy John surgery. You've faced him many, many times. You have your big three back. You jump out to the 3-0 lead. You get into the Guardians bullpen early. You have a lot of chances. Then Jax comes in an incredibly difficult spot and is tremendous in the first inning where he comes in. And then the dilemma off only 4 pitches, and for the second time this year, Rocco brings him out, a move I 1,000% agreed with, and he gives up the 2-run go-ahead homer, and you lose 4-3. The season is long. You've been around this for a long, long time, but some losses stand out more than others. Looking back on that loss, what jumps out at you most?
I think the timing of it is just is crucial because as the Twins lost, the Tigers rallied and they won by one in Kansas City. And so a heartbreaking loss that would have been eased a bit had Kansas City defeated Detroit last night would have helped things a little bit, not solved everything, but certainly would have woken up with a more pep in your step than you would have otherwise, did not happen. So I think what's crucial so in that game last night is Pablo's starts are so key right now. Yes. Because everybody else mm-hmm. is struggling at the same time. And it's not fair to always put it on his shoulders because he's been in this spot, his last 5 or 6 starts. It's felt like, hey, Pablo, save us, and he's done that. And last night he was really good. And deflating from the offensive side of things because the Twins did not see 2 of the main 3 bullpen pieces that the Guardians have. It wasn't Hunter Gaddis. It wasn't Cade Smith there in the mid to late innings. And that's the struggle because Cleveland's bullpen has been the best in baseball by every measure all year long. Clase in the 9th, you know you're going to get him, but the guys that get him the ball are fantastic, and those were not the arms that Cleveland leaned on to shut out the Twins' offense yesterday. So it's not going well. So a really, really crushing loss last night.
What did you think about the approach the hitters took? 10 left on, 2-9 runners in scoring position, and you talk about this every game. This team and this lineup, and plenty of it, was tied to who has not been in the lineup, but this is an extended stretch where they're just not scoring the runs like they were for multiple months when for that long stretch they had the best record in the game.
Yeah, on August 17th, they were 17 games over 500, and if you look at the baseball calendar from around April 22nd leading up to August 17th, the Twins had the best record of any team in the game. From that period, from April 22nd, 23rd, up until August 17th.
That's a long stretch.
The best record. A long stretch. That's why they were 17 over. Their playoff odds were at like 9, not to win the division, but their playoff odds were well over 90%. And then since then, they have just fallen flat in every possible way. And I have the numbers in front of me. The last 27 games, they've won 8, and the team ERA is near 5. The offense is scoring just around 3.7, 3.8 runs per game. So do the math right there. You're giving up 5, you're scoring under 4. On average, you're going to lose. They're not. Last night they did draw walks. That was a big part of their success early against Matthew Boyd, but that has not been a strength of their team. They've not been able to draw many walks. The bullpen ERA has surged. The home run rate from the bullpen has also surged. And I thought Griffin Jacks, you know, said it very honestly and candidly last night that we're all on fumes right now. And you know, Glenn Perkins is so good on the air, and I love working with him, and especially dissecting that game last night, because here is a closer, a three-time All-Star closer, and I'm with you. We both love the move, sending Jax back out there, but, you know, Jax, this is only maybe the third time all year, and the second time in a matter of 10, 14 days when he's been asked to go back out for a second inning. And Glenn was saying how hard that is to do for somebody that hasn't done it very much this season. The emotional roller coaster that he was on, coming in that spot and getting it done, the energy inside the dugout, you could see it, you could feel it, and then we're back down, and then you have to get back up. Very hard if you haven't done it, and Jax has not been in that role often this year.
So let's stay with that, because we know in September and October, pitchers can be used differently, right? And this is an example. And Jax, to me, I don't even think it's close. When you're talking just pure performance, we can debate the role. But for pure performance, Jax has been the Twins' best player. But knowing whether it's in September or you make the playoffs in October, you kind of go out of body. You do some different things. Is it fair to say that Rocco might have missed an opportunity that occasionally during the year in an important May game, an important June game, you give Jax that opportunity? You don't do it often because you don't want to burn him out, but you give him a few more chances. So maybe last night is his sixth time doing this, his seventh time doing this. And so maybe that up and down, that emotional level, that he has a greater feel for it than he might have had last night.
I think the San Diego game stands out in August, right? When Bailey Ober was pitching great, then gave up the bloop and the Manny Machado home run that tied the game at 3, and then Jax came in and finished the 7th. The Twins scored 2 runs in the 8th inning, and I think Jax only threw like 10 pitches too, Chad, when he came back out to get through that 7th inning. Then the Twins get 2, and then Rocco went to Steven Okert. And that was the one you're like, okay, if you're going to make a move here, that's not the guy. You know, that's not the guy, because anybody could see this coming, that, you know, Mike Schilt had righties on the bench, and it was a given that was going to, and it just imploded, and the lead was gone in 7 or 8 pitches it was gone when Proper hit that home run. So that to me, I think, was one of the more recent games where, okay, if you were going to send Jax back out, you're winning by 2, you had the lead throughout the night, you lost it, you got it back, send him back out after not a laborious inning, 10 pitches.
Yeah.
That to me would have been, I think, maybe the first time, but that was in August, and Rocco waited really until September. Now, you look at it in terms of the actual calendar, it's not that big of a difference, but really September, that cliche of the baseball season, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Well, many will say that the sprint begins September 1, and so I think once we got to September, that's kind of when maybe they changed that plan a little bit. So that's why they've been asking him being Jax, to do it this month in a way that we did not see before.
Okay, speaking of pitching, you're aware of this, the Twins in the last hour or so announced they have sent down Jorge Alcala, and they have claimed Cole Irvin. He's a left-hander. This year alone, he's 6-5. ERA is not great, 4.86. But as you know, he started 16 games. So when they're picking him up, and when you know you're uncertain about Zebby, who's pitching tonight, and Festa, part of the reason this move is made is for him to potentially start, or does he go to the bullpen and give him another left-handed option?
I don't think he'll be asked to start and go 5 innings. I think he's a guy that will be an opener for an inning or two in front of, say, a guy like, I don't think it won't be tonight, but for maybe Simeon, maybe for David Festa, that I think to help those guys get into the 5th inning, and potentially the 6th, but asking, those guys are not going 5 innings.
Nope.
I mean, look at their recent starts. I mean, these guys are pushing innings limits they have never hit before, and you see it. You know, velocity, you see it with command. It's just not there. It's not sharp. It's not there. So I think what they're going to use Irvin in a role that I think he'll do both. I think he'll get some work in the pen too, but I think to me he would be, he's a lefty and Sim and Festa are righties, that to me that would be more applicable right now. And you force the opposing team to make some lineup decisions about righties and lefties because you don't know how long Irvin is going to go. So that to me is where my brain is leading me, that's the role that Irvin I think will take on.
Okay, so let's stay with the bullpen. Because of September, how long does Alcala have to stay down with the Saints? Is it a shorter period of time?
I still think it's 10.
Okay.
Because I think it's 10. Pitchers might be 10 days. I'm thinking about it. I think it's still 10 days.
Okay.
The minor league season ends on Sunday, but I still believe it's 10 days. And I believe that you're allowed to keep open your AAA site for maybe an extra few days, week max. I'll get that number from Derek Falvey here.
Yep.
He's on the trip. But it's not like, all right, the Saints end on Sunday and then they close up shop. You're allowed a little bit of time just in case you need to add to your roster to wrap up the regular season, that you are permitted to keep some guys there working for a few more days. The Alcala move makes sense. And I think this goes back to, because I think Michael Tonkin, Scott Blewett, those guys are options. But again, it speaks to they need some long guys because they're not getting length from the three rookies right now. And I think Louis Varland now takes on a Jorge Alcala role. But having Michael Tonkin.
He hasn't been very good, though, right?
Yeah, he's bad. They've been fine. And those guys, I think, are needed more right now just to provide some length behind the three rookies who are just pitching with that fuel tank, you know, pretty much on empty.
Corey Provis is with us. Just two more questions. We'll let him go. Check him out on Bally's tonight as an option, or check out the Twins right here on the home of the Twins, CCO. I looked while we're talking. I don't see a lineup yet, unless I missed it somewhere. Do you expect Buxton and Correa in the lineup tonight?
Great question. I do. We haven't seen them play back-to-back yet, but they're not going to play. They're not going to play. Well, we have, 12 games left. They're not going to play 12 in a row. I mean, Rocco has pretty much come out and said that. They're not going to play every game the rest of the way. I just think you need your dudes. I think you need to win tonight. I just think you need to put your guys out there. Now, I thought the same thing on Sunday when he took them out midway through the game. It was lopsided. I thought they were going to play on Sunday. They did not, and the offense came up in 9 runs. That's been the issue with this offense the last now 27 games. It's 9 runs one day or 10 runs one day, and then for the next 2 or 3, it's maybe 9 combined.
Yep.
It's just so up and down. They're just not able to find consistency. But I think after last night, I really do. I think those guys, I think they'll be in the lineup tonight.
I agree with you 100% on they should be in the lineup. Because, and you have the pulse of this way better than me just from the studio. But that had to crush them. Because they know everything we're saying here about Pablo. And then before you get to Bailey, and then Pablo's, you know, he's the end of the week, right? And if you lose another one tonight, and those guys are watching, I just think that's an awful message.
So, I mean, I asked Rocco on Sunday before the Roku game on Sunday, you know, they're not playing. Is this because you want to save them for Monday, for Cleveland? He said, no, they physically cannot play. They are in pain. You know, Carlos is doing all he can with his foot. He literally dug out a hole in his right orthotic. You know, he showed it to me in the clubhouse the other day. He's got this hole in the middle of his orthotic. Mm. That's where his heel kind of sits. He trimmed his cleats down about a quarter on each side towards the back end to just minimize the amount of pressure that heel has either at the bottom of his shoe or on the ground. And then Byron, I think you saw last night, a couple of balls in center field,
yes.
Not routine,
yep.
But those are plays that Byron Buxton, when he's right, man, he's making those plays. He is.
100%.
And I think those are some signs that you just look at and say, all right, they're hurting. And this is not about saving. This is about what these guys can physically do and what they cannot do, and that is driving this roster decision and this lineup decision on a daily basis.
Great stuff as always, sir. I'll be watching tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Chad.
He's the best. Corey Provis.